Well, good evening. Good to see each one here this evening. Thankful for this opportunity to be here in Springfield again. I'm Eugene Cole from the Neosho congregation, and appreciate the opportunity to share the word of the Lord this evening, and definitely as a song we just got through singing, desire the Lord's Spirit to be poured out upon us this evening. We appreciate the song service. And you know, it's wonderful to know that we serve a big God. We just heard the testimony there of the Lord working in his brother's behalf. And you know, that's inspiring. That's encouraging. The Lord knew what his needs were, and he answered his prayers. So I have a burden this evening. I'll write the title on the board here. So I have written on the board, it's actually part of a scripture we'll read here in a moment. It says, Lord, increase our faith. And the disciples actually said those words to Jesus. And we'll read that here in a moment in Luke, the 17th chapter. But before we read that, I want to just lay a little foundation here. This message is meant to inspire our faith and to give us courage to petition our Lord for whatever needs we have. And this is a revival meeting. And everyone has different needs. If we were to go around the room, everyone would have probably not just one or two. It'd probably be several needs and a variety of needs. And only the Lord and the Holy Spirit knows what those needs are. But throughout the meeting, I would ask that we would look to the Lord to hear and answer our prayers and to meet our needs. And it may not happen immediately. We may not get the answers immediately. But in His own time, in His own way, He will meet our needs. He promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I found that to be true. And I think all of us have here this evening. So I want to read a scripture in Luke, the 17th chapter. And there's verses on either side of this passage that I'm not going to take time to read. But I'm just going to pick out this verse. Luke 17 and 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And just that little phrase, do you know what's interesting to me is, number one, the apostles, the disciples, they were walking and talking with Jesus. They saw how many myriads of miracles that he performed. Not just saving souls and casting out devils, but also the healings, the other miracles that he accomplished there. And yet, like, Lord, increase our faith. And you know, just thinking, Sheila and I were talking not too long ago, what would it have been like to be back in the time of Jesus and actually see him physically and to talk with him? You know, I dare say we're all still human, just like they were back then. There were still folks that doubted who he was, and they still rejected, even though he performed all these miracles. But yet we have the apostles and disciples here that were walking and talking with Jesus, and he was giving them some pretty stout challenges, okay? Yet he was performing these miracles, and so he's demonstrating the power of God right before their eyes. He was the Word in flesh, God's Word in flesh. And yet, it's like, Lord, increase our faith. They realized that they were just human. And they realized that Jesus had something more that they needed. And that this was going to be a growth process. They knew that. Most of them were fishermen and other types of... they weren't polished individuals, most of them. Matthew may be an exception. But they realized their desperate need of the Lord. And of something greater than what they had on hand. But thinking of faith in general... Again, considering, why do we come to worship services to begin with? Do we come with expectation? You know, that takes a certain amount of faith. Not just to walk in the doors here at the chapel and to sit down in a pew and just sit and be a bench warmer. That doesn't take any faith. But what takes faith is, Lord, you have something specifically for me. Tailor fit. You know, it was mentioned earlier, and we've all experienced this, that whether it's other revivals or regular services or camp meetings, where a message would be going forth or a testimony or exhortation or a song, and all of a sudden it's like the Lord goes, boom, this is for you. And it may not be the exact words that the individual is saying, but it's something custom, tailor-fit, just for you and I. Now that's the power of the Holy Spirit. But yeah, here we have the apostles and the disciples saying, Lord, we need some more faith. Lord, and perhaps they were anticipating, and Jesus warned them of some difficult times ahead. Lord, we're going to need some more faith for that. Some opposition, persecution. But again, considering these apostles that were mentioned here, they were privileged to be with Jesus. And again, you know, I believe Satan attacks us just like he did the apostles back then. Planting little seeds of doubt. And planting seeds of, well, is that really going to do any good? Are you really bettering yourself following this man, Jesus? And leaving your careers behind? Is this really the best thing for you to do? You realize in this modern day and age, there's a lot of reasoning out there. People trying to rationalize what, that doesn't make sense. But you see, that's the whole key. Where does faith fit in? You see, that's what it's talking about. Lord, increase our faith, because as we know, the scripture says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And you think about that. That's a whole message in itself. But we have to have, there has to be a base mode of faith and confidence and assurance that God put me on this earth for a reason. And God has a plan for me on this earth. And God has, how can I say this? He has the answers that I'm looking for. And yes, it may not happen all of it. You realize that the disciples that walked with Jesus there, even up until the night of the crucifixion, and even after the crucifixion, they still were scratching their heads trying to figure all this out. It's not a literal kingdom. What are you talking about? And Jesus, he tried his best to explain in great detail, and they still were thick-headed and didn't get it. You realize we can be the same way. We can hear the same type of message and the same scriptures preached even hundreds of times. I think we've all been there before. And all of a sudden, ding, 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 the light comes on one day. We're like, where'd that come from? And the Lord's like, I've been trying to get that message across to you. But you realize that God does have a plan for our lives. He had a plan for these apostles. And His plan was, yes, for their faith to increase. And as I mentioned earlier, the devil attacks us in ways, and considering just the day and age we live in now, there's a lot of things to attack our faith. We'll put it this way. There are so many more options and alternatives out there today. Things that we can seek and look to for help other than the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? It could be things for our physical body. It could be things for our mental capacities. And there's some natural things that are good. Don't get me wrong. But going to psychiatrist. And then there's, you think of, there's a lot of, we could say, artificial entertainments. Things to excite us. You realize, when I go to Monarch, that is one of the most exciting things. When sometimes it's just like you kind of get lost in the spirit, so to speak. I can't say that that happens every minute of every service, but you understand what I'm saying? There's those times where the Lord comes down and His Spirit comes down. Talk about exciting. But there's a lot of counterfeits out there. And a lot of things that can shortchange us and affect our faith in a negative way. You think of the emotional needs. And Lord, help us that we turn to the Lord for help in those areas too. The emotional and of course the spiritual. There are so many things that you can search for and find on the internet, in the bookstore, your neighbor next door, and they may be all good intentions, but it's really not what the Lord has in mind for you. You see what I'm saying? Lord, increase our faith that your Spirit can reach down and touch me exactly where I'm at, because He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. The psychiatrist doesn't know that. The neighbor next door doesn't know that. My buddy at the job doesn't know that. And even sometimes a minister can't get it. I was like, sometimes, but Lord, your Holy Spirit can come down and penetrate and get through all the superfluity, all the distractions. You know, that's another thing that can hinder our faith in this day and age is distractions. Simply being too busy, consumed with whatever. Not that we're talking sinful things, but just busyness, the cares of life. And can actually hinder our faith because we're not exercising our faith. We're just plodding along doing this and this and that and that, and we miss our time with the Lord, you see. We miss our time exercising our faith with the Lord. Well, now we'll go a little further here. Speaking of exercise, so if you want your faith to be increased, you know, it's kind of like folks that have, they kind of joke about it, you know, ask for, Lord, I need more patience. Well, guess what's going to happen? The Lord's going to custom tailor something to come your way that's going to test your patience. But it's not to destroy you. It's to help you learn and grow from that. Because if we do slip, He's like, I got the grace for that. Don't, if you fall, don't stay down. Get back up. I have something more for you. Lord, increase our faith that even, yes, He may sin, allow some difficulties, some trials and tests in life. You think of the story of Job. I don't think Job was looking for trouble. Satan came looking for him. You know, Satan is after every single one of us. To sift us as wheat, as he told Peter. But Lord, increase our faith. That our faith would take us where we wouldn't succumb to the attacks of the enemy, to that would diminish our faith, to where we ultimately lose out on our relationship with the Lord. You realize that that is a common theme nowadays? You know, there used to be a time, especially, say, 100 years ago, just in our nation alone, that it was the Reformation period, and all kinds of revivals breaking out all over the U.S., and other countries, too. And it was like, it was the Great Awakening. It was like a lot of people coming to the Lord and coming out of darkness and confusion and all those things, and it was glorious. And it seems like that's been going for years, and then, not that I'm to decide here, but it's as if there's a dullness. There's a lethargy. There's a lackadaisical attitude. It's like, well, I'll make it to service sometime, whenever it's convenient. You see, Lord, increase our faith. What do you have for me at worship service, Lord? Maybe that's exactly, you miss out on a Wednesday night testimony session, and there may have been a testimony custom tailored just for you, or just for me. And if we miss out on that, you realize it's to increase, to build our faith. Well, you think of, remember in school, how do you know if you learned your lessons? You're given a test. You know, the Lord will allow that in our walk with Him too. And again, it's not to just to give us a bad grade, but He wants, if He could, He knows where we're at. He wants us to be made aware of where we're at. And then we realize maybe there's some shortcomings and some needs there. It's like, Lord, increase my faith that you can help in those needs. You see what I'm saying? That I not allow, Lord, help me not to feel crushed with this. When this is exposed and I realize, oh no, I've been doing this wrong, or oh no, I didn't realize that, or whatever it is, say, oh Lord, increase my faith. And thinking of thinking of faith in this sense, in order to increase our faith, there are some things we can do. And I want to start it with this fact. It doesn't have to be anything, it's not like a magical formula. Like you have to go over here, and drive over here, and call this person over here, and push a button over there, and open the book over here, and utter a certain number of words here. You see what I'm saying? No, the rituals, that's what took place in the Old Testament. But you see, that veil was rent there in the temple and made room for the Holy Spirit to come along. And it's for us to have direct access to the throne of God. But it comes down to a simple, basic, childlike faith. A trusting faith. One that is not cluttered with excuses, conditions, a long list of, like I mentioned earlier, rituals or all that. But it's going directly to the point, directly to the source, okay, of the one that can make a difference in our needs, the one that can hear and answer our prayers, the one that can lift us up out of the trouble that we're in. And having said that, there's a story in the scriptures that I want to read. And it's actually in two different passages. One is in Luke, the 7th chapter. In fact, since we're in Luke, we'll go ahead and read that one now. And the other one is in Matthew, the 8th chapter. So in Luke 7, this is the story of the centurion who came to Jesus in time of need. And before I read this story, I want to write just a couple of things on the board here, and we'll refer back to them later. It's not necessarily a two-step process, but these are two things that will assist and aid us in increasing our faith. So I want to write both of them on here. So I have two things written there. It is, hear the word and heed the word. And considering that, there's a scripture in Romans, we won't turn and read it, but I'll just quote this, that speaks of, well actually, let me just turn and read it, I may not quote it very well. In Romans the 10th chapter, in verse 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you think of, how do we know that we have need of more faith, or meet more need of whatever, the attributes, the fruits of the Spirit, whatever it is, how do we know if we have need of that if we don't hear from God's word? If we don't hear from Him directly? If we don't hear of the opportunity, if we don't hear of the position that He has and how He speaks and what He speaks of. You see, Jesus here, prior to the centurion, some have different dates and we're not going to debate, but this was more than likely when the centurion came to Jesus. It was around maybe the first year. He'd been ministering for several months at this time. It was towards the beginning of his ministry. So no doubt this centurion had heard many encounters and perhaps even witnessed firsthand some of the miracles that Jesus performed, and had heard from the Jews and maybe some of his own Roman soldiers of what Jesus was doing. No doubt that was the case. And this is what's interesting. And we read here in the 7th chapter of Luke, we'll go ahead and read part of this story. It says, verse 1, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant." So we have here a centurion that had heard of Jesus. And he sent for Jesus. And you think about this for a little bit. He's a centurion, one that has authority over many Roman soldiers. And he's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. Yet he has respect for this man called Jesus. And I want to turn back and read in Matthew, the 8th chapter. So we're going to flip back and forth between these two passages. And I want to pick up something else that the centurion, about the centurion here. So in Matthew, the 8th chapter, we'll start with verse 5. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Again, this centurion came looking for Jesus. Why did he come looking for Jesus? He'd heard about him. And no doubt he had heard some of his exact words, some of his teachings about maybe some prophecies of the Old Testament, some of the law, some of the new law that Jesus was teaching. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? And many other things that Jesus was expounding upon. And perhaps this centurion heard some of this. And what's interesting, if you go back to Luke, the 7th chapter, and you read verses 4 and 5, it says, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly." So these are the ones that the centurion asked of some of the people to go, of the Jews, to find Jesus. "And they came to Jesus, and they besought him, saying, that he is worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." What they're saying here is, this centurion has found favor with us. And we have found favor with him. That he has treated us well. He helped us build this chapel that we could worship in. He's a good man. Yeah, he's a Roman centurion and he's a Gentile. But this centurion was observing something that no doubt touched him deeply. And it doesn't say here all the words and all the thoughts that were coming through his mind. But when he heard that Jesus had come into town, he's saying, "Go get him. I need him." "I've been hearing what Jesus has been doing. And I have a servant at home that's about to die." And no doubt this centurion had tried all kinds of things to heal his servant. Sought other physicians. No doubt spent a lot of time and money because this was a servant and it was someone special to him. It wasn't just an everyday servant like, oh, just the many of hundreds out there. No, this was no doubt probably a personal servant. Very good friends with the servant. Very close to him. He was dear to him. So he had exhausted everything else. He's like, you know what? I know of someone else. Jesus. So he sought for Jesus. You know, have we ever been in that place before? You've exhausted all your other resources. You're like, I've heard. I've heard of one that can heal. And they can actually raise from the dead. Raise people from the dead. And perform miracles. And he knows my heart. He knows who I am. You know, Jesus, when the centurion came to him or the other people, whichever way, two accounts say it differently, but the bottom line was, he knew who the centurion was. He knew his name. He knew, no doubt, where he lived. I mean, this is the Son of God. He knew the thoughts in the centurion when he's asking the questions, and he's thinking, this guy's really searching. He's an honest man. He's looking for something. He's desperate. And his Jesus' teachings, no doubt, had got his attention. And the example of Jesus' disciples and the other believing Jews no doubt got the attention of this centurion saying, this is something I've never seen before, ever. And I like it. And I'm willing to help build a synagogue. But he'd been hearing the word. Lived, taught, spoken, and it touched him, and it moved him. But he wasn't content just to be impressed with the miracles. He wasn't content just to be impressed with the words, because it said Jesus spake as never man spake with authority. He wasn't impressed just with the authority that Jesus spoke. There was something deeper. There was something, no doubt, that was speaking to his heart to increase his faith. And maybe at this time, he wasn't a believer. It doesn't say that he was. And maybe eventually he did convert over. I don't know. But this one thing I do know, that he reached out in faith to the only one that could make a difference in his life. And that's what I want to read some more here of what he did. Back here in Luke, it says, and Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Oh, wow. First of all, the humility of this centurion. He was a man with power and authority, could do whatever he chose to do with the men under him and his servants, and they would go do it. Even if it was something against the Jews, he had power to do whatever he wanted to, essentially. And yet he was subjecting himself to Jesus. You know, that just blows me away. A Gentile submitting himself to the authority of Jesus. And let's read what it says in the passage in Matthew. And it says, verse 8, Matthew 8:8, it says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. He's not worthy of it. In other words, I don't deserve this kind of recognition and attention. But he said this, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Oh, what faith. Oh, what simple, childlike faith. He cut through all the... He didn't have to give a long explanation or excuses of why it took so long to get to him. You know, well, I thought about it for several days and weeks, and finally, no. And there wasn't any other... if we could say, it wasn't like he was imploring to Jesus, like, okay, what things do you want me to do? Do I need to do this and this and this and this so that I can have a miracle performed? He had been hearing and observing and watching the miracles that Jesus was performing. And it brought to his mind thinking, you know what? Jesus doesn't even have to come and lay his hands on my servant. He can just speak the word. Oh, what simple faith. But no doubt, there was something that was causing his faith to well up. And hearing, observing, and watching all these other things take place to where he had the courage then, that his faith was increased to the point where, Jesus, Lord, Master, I need you to touch my servant. And he said, all you have to do is speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having under me, I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Again, this centurion was a very capable man in so many aspects, but there was one thing he couldn't do. He couldn't heal a servant. But he found the man that could. Thank the Lord. And I want to turn back again, back in Luke, the 7th chapter, and we'll finish this story here. In verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus healed him. That hour. It wasn't weeks later, months later. In this particular instance, Jesus doesn't always do this, okay? But in this particular instance, God chose, through His Son Jesus, to give Him power and authority to heal that servant. And He did. You know, of course, in our lifetime, no doubt we've experienced or witnessed or heard of instant healings. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes He doesn't. And the same goes with souls that turn to the Lord for salvation. Sometimes it seems like it takes them months and years to condition themselves before they finally accept it. And other times it's like within hours they're ready for salvation. You know what I'm saying? It's different every time. But in this particular instance, Jesus chose to answer immediately and heal His servant. But notice what He said. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Even Jesus was impressed with this. You know, this is a challenge for all of us. That when we hear the word, that we actually take action. And we heed what we hear. It's one thing, you know, I've heard some say it this way. Even if we had an angel to come down from heaven and preach us all kinds of messages, that'd be great. But it wouldn't do us any good if we didn't take heed to what we heard. It wouldn't amount to anything. Just good words. Even these scriptures, we could read several passages and all kinds of instruction and challenging things and that's wonderful, that's great. It's good words. But it takes more than that. And the scripture that I want to read referring to that is in James 1 and 22. You know which one I'm talking about. Hearing is one thing. Doing is another. In James 1 and 22 it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Again, taking action and putting into motion what you hear and what you believe is actually growing your faith. It's like, I've mentioned it this way before. Exercising your faith is like a muscle. You know, I remember when I was a young teenager, I wanted to build a little bit of muscle. How do you do that? You have to exercise it. You have to use it. And that means some resistance. That means having to lift some weights. That means perspiring a little bit. Putting in some effort. And not just for 1 week or for 1 day or for 1 month and you stop. No. If you really want to grow the muscles, you have to keep it up consistently. Consistently. And you think of the apostles when they told Jesus, or they asked Him, Lord, increase our faith. I don't know that at that time that they fully understood what they were saying. Because after Jesus left them, after the crucifixion, resurrection, the day of Pentecost, it's like things kicked into gear. And they got to realize and experience firsthand what it was like to increase their faith. They had to put into motion the things that they'd heard Jesus teach for months. It was great to hear and to absorb it and to get it down into their hearts and to understand part of it. But it wasn't until they started exercising, taking heed to the word and putting those things into motion that it started making more sense. It was applying. Then that's when the power and the grace came, you see. That's when the Lord said, okay, you understand it and you're taking some action. You realize you can't make it on your own. You can't fix this on your own. And so you're petitioning Me and you're trying to exercise that faith and you're stepping out on faith and the Lord says, okay, I'll take you the rest of the way. I'll do the rest for you. And I'll do what you can't do. That's what the Lord is good at doing, isn't He?
Yeah.
Well, when you think of the centurion again, yes, he had heard and he acted. But I want to consider his servant again. You know, when you have something near and dear to you that means a lot to you, you're willing to take some drastic measures, aren't you? I remember years ago, one of the companies I worked for, I worked with a lady, and her husband weren't able to have children, but they had dogs. Really nice dogs. They had two boxers. And they'd spent a lot of money, full blood, had the papers, spent a lot of time in training school, and they were so good that she could bring them to work, and they wouldn't cause a fuss. You'd get them in their office, and they'd lay right there, both of them, get along well, and even other visiting dogs would come, and they were well-behaved, and she'd take them and do all kinds of things. But one of them got some type of serious ailment, and she ended up spending thousands of dollars on this dog. It was worth it to her. It was like her child, and that's fine. But it was something very near and dear to her. And she was willing to, and here's the interest, she was asking around within the company who different ones that maybe had this operation on their, or, you know, who would you go to? And so she got recommendations. She was searching and looking, trying to find the best place to take this dog to have it well taken care of. And she did, and everything turned out fine. But the point was, you know, with you and I, we have things that are very near and dear to our hearts. Things perhaps that we've sought the Lord for many times. Or maybe some things we don't understand or we don't comprehend, and we petition the Lord, say, Lord, I hear what you want me to do and I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And yet it seems like the answer doesn't come. You know, it reminds me of a story in the Bible. You remember the widow that went to the judge to be avenged of her adversary? Did she come just once or twice? She kept coming back, kept coming back. It was something near and dear to her. And you know what, the centurion, he had the answer right away. But you know, it doesn't give any other accounts. Perhaps he had another instance and he sought Jesus again. It's not recorded here, but perhaps, and maybe it took several weeks or months for him to get the answer that time. We don't know. But there's all kinds of examples in the Bible. But this widow, there was something near and dear to her. And she kept petitioning the judge and kept coming back. And he kept turning her away. You know, the Lord, he's better than a judge. A judge can get frustrated, slam the door, and treat him however. But God doesn't act that way. He's not an austere man, as the scripture says. He is a kind gentleman. One that won't force his way around, but one that also knows what is best for us. And knows what it would take for us to grow, to mature, to make it to the next level. You see, that's what these meetings are for. That we would be inspired and would be encouraged and be challenged to grow to the next level and not stay there, but go on to the, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, not decrease our faith or just keep our faith the same for years. No, that's not growth, but Lord, increase our faith. And no doubt back with the centurion, that was a building block, a foundation in his life. And I wish I knew the end of his story. Who knows? Maybe he was converted. I hope he was. But you know, there were others that were Gentiles. They were converted. They heard the word and they heeded the word. And their faith was increased and they entered into the fold. And God worked with them and used them. You think of Apostle Paul. He had some tests, did he not? But yet, he kept pressing toward the mark. He wasn't willing, he was willing to forget those things that were behind. He wanted his faith to increase. And yes, God allowed some things. And you know, thinking back on this centurion, no doubt, God perhaps allowed that for a reason, his servant to be sick. Because maybe he knew about this centurion all along, and knew his heart, and knew if he touched his servant with the disease, that that would tenderize him even more. You understand what I'm saying? It got close to him. It was something near and dear to him. And he got desperate. And he went directly, he went directly to Jesus saying, Jesus, I need something. You know, that's again, simple childlike faith. You know, you think of a child, there's so many things that I remember with my boys when they were younger, just little guys. One of them was reminding me about it the other night. But when they were little, I would toss them up in the air. And they would smile all the way up and all the way down, as long as I didn't drop them. And they wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. But there was a true childlike faith and confidence in their father. And you know, it goes the same with you and I. That there may be some ups and downs in life, but let's maintain that childlike faith that God knows what He is doing. Just as the scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To those that are asking, Lord, increase my faith. Lord saying, okay, here comes some ups and downs. Here comes some difficulties. Here comes something that's going to touch something to your core. But it's not to destroy you and I. It's to stir us up. It's for us to take action on what we have heard and what we understand and say, Lord, okay, now I get it. Now I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to go do this. Lord, would you go with me? You remember the story of Gideon? Oh, he had some reservation and some doubts. But you know, the Lord was mindful of those things. And He still assisted him all the way through. He's like, oh Lord, he wasn't saying these words exactly, but that's what he was meaning. Lord, increase my faith. Got 300 men, can we really do this? You know what the Lord did? He caused him to go down and listen to the dreams that the enemies were telling in their tents that night. And that gave him courage. There was something near and dear to Gideon's heart. He's like, I can't do this on my own. The Lord's thinking, you're right, you can't. Increase my faith. Lord, I know, I've heard. Okay, now take action. And you know what Gideon did? He took action. And it increased his faith. And he went down there and the victory was won. God brought a mighty victory that night. Well, you know, with you and I and our walk of life, do you have things that are near and dear to you? Perhaps you've expended all your efforts and energies. You've cried your tears. You've sought the Lord. You've prayed, cried, all those things. You've done everything you know to do. I want to encourage you tonight. Just stick to the basics. Continue hearing the Word and heeding the Word. And the Scripture says, be not weary in well-doing. In other words, the things that you know that are... And you know, even Satan will come and even tempt us on those things. Like, are you sure that's doing you any good? Reading the Scriptures and talking about the Lord and thanking the Lord for this, and that falls apart. You thank the Lord for that, and that falls... You know, and then the devil come along and it's like, are you doing any good? Oh, by faith. I know this is what I'm supposed to be. That's what I've heard. That's what I've witnessed. That's what I've seen. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to take heed to that. And I'm going to take action in my life. And exercise that little muscle of faith. And before long, we can become a mighty warrior of faith. You remember Abraham? When he was Abram? And he slipped up a few times, didn't he? But you know what? In the end, remember when Isaac came along? It's like, okay, Lord, you want him back? Here you go. Hearing the Word and heeding the Word. He took action and the Lord said, whoa, the Lord had to take immediate action. But he answered prayer and the Lord provided. And it was something near and dear to his heart, but yet he kept it consecrated to the Lord that his faith might increase. And Abraham developed into the father of faith. Dear ones, God wants to develop some more fathers of faith, mothers of faith. Some more Ruths, some more Apostle Pauls, some more Peters. You name it. But it's going to take, Lord, increase my faith. It's going to take hearing the word and taking action, heeding the word. And you think of, back with the woman, the widow. You know, with you and I, we have an advantage. Because when she was coming to the judge, she didn't have, if you could say it this way, another story just like her. You see what I'm saying? Where we have the privilege of hearing the whole Old and New Testament of all these stories. And they're not just stories. Factual events that took place where God came on the scene time and time and time again. That we have an advantage, dear ones. And we also have the Holy Spirit to help teach us and impart to us the word that we read and hear. And to assist us that we may boldly go to the throne of grace. To help us in time of need that we take the action that God wants us to. That we step out on faith and we grow to the next level. And a little while later, we grow to the next level again. That's God's plan for all of us. But it's going to be up to you and I. I can't do it for you. You know, when the apostles were saying, Lord, increase our faith, it wasn't one of the apostles saying, Lord, increase his faith. Increase his faith. John, Peter, and no. Lord, increase our faith. Collectively. Individually. To get more specific. And you know, God will honor that. His promises are true, dear ones. He'll never leave us. He won't forsake us. He's going to be there in time of need, just like he was with the centurion. He was even a Gentile, but he heard his prayer because he was humble before Jesus, didn't lift himself up, acknowledged his need, and reached out in faith, believing, and God answers his prayer. So that's my challenge to all of us here tonight, that we continue to grow in the Lord, to increase our faith. As the scripture says, here a little and there a little. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to the Lord.